church on this beautiful Lord's Day, and I can't think of a better way to begin a service than by having believers' baptism. I'm so grateful today that Peyton Ledford comes making a public profession of his faith in Jesus Christ. And as Peyton and I were visiting in the back, he shared with me that it was many years ago that his granddad introduced him to Jesus Christ. And today he's following through by making his public profession of faith and following through believers' baptism. I'm so proud of Peyton. He leaves July the 8th to head to West Point, where he'll be playing football for Army and serving our country. Peyton, we're so very proud of you. But this is a class act, a fine young man, and today, Peyton, we celebrate with you on this public profession of faith and following through believers' baptism. We celebrate with you and your family. Peyton, I ask you, as I do everyone that enter into these waters, as Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, upon your profession of faith in Him, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Well, good morning, church. Good morning. My name is Sean Sherwood, and I'm the Associate Pastor of Music and Worship here at Forks. And it's my first Sunday up here, and I'm so excited to be here with you this morning. Thank you so much for your kindness to my wife, Kelly, and I, and we just feel at home already, only being here about a week. And so if you're visiting with us this morning, you are our special and honored guest, and we'd like to know a little bit about you. So in front of you on the pew, you'll see a QR code, or on the screen up here, you'll see a QR code. Scan that for us and fill out just a little bit of information just so we can get to know you a little bit. And at the end of the service, you'll go out here to my left and your right, our welcome center. We have a gift just to show you. Thank you for being here. And those who are watching online, welcome. We're so glad you're here worshiping with us online as well. So let's stand together, church, and let's sing this morning. We have victory in Jesus. Amen? As we just saw, what a great way to start the service with Peyton's baptism. But let's sing about the victory we have in Jesus. Here we go. All right, I heard an old story.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory.
All right,
come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory.
Around you this morning. Let's sing together on this last verse. Here we go. I heard about a mansion.
I heard about a mansion he has built for me.
For victory this morning. Yes, give the Lord a little. Yes. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that I have a Savior named Jesus. I'm thankful that I can call on Him no matter what's going on in my life and know He'll hear me, and more importantly, He'll answer. And so this morning, as we continue in worship, let's be reminded of His greatness this morning.
I hear the sound of your voice.
Most High God, the one who loves us unconditionally, who shares grace and mercy with us every day. That's a reason to sing. We have a reason to proclaim how great He is this morning. So as we continue in worship, let's sing this together. Bless the Lord. Sing this, oh Lord my God.
Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the my soul, my Savior. him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin.
Hear the church, come on.
Then sings my soul.
Part.
When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. My soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art.
Can we sing that again? Just voices.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee.
Oh, that's beautiful. Come on.
How great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Amen.
Amen. What a powerful spirit, presence of the Lord that is in this place. It's so great that we can come to worship our living Lord, to be overwhelmed by His Spirit, to have more than 10,000 reasons why we praise Him, and to sing how great He is and that we have victory in Jesus Christ. What a great day and a great place to be. And today I'm so grateful that we have an opportunity, if you feel led by the Holy Spirit, to come to this altar and pray. We are a church that believes in the power of prayer. And if you are a guest today, know that there is an opportunity if you want to come and kneel at the altar, or you can stand from your seat. If you're watching at home or on vacation, you can pray wherever you are, even on the beach. But I'm going to invite you, if you feel led by the Holy Spirit, to come join me as we lift up our prayers together. Would you come pray with me today? May we pray together. Oh God, thank you for the victory we have in Jesus. Thank you, oh God, that many times we're just overwhelmed by your goodness and your mercy and your grace. Father, we come today to give praise to you and to give glory to you. Father, to sing how great you truly are. Father, we bow humbly before you, asking that you would lift us up. Father, I want to just say thank you for Peyton's baptism today. Father, would you bless this young man as he goes and Just lead him, guide him, direct him, and protect him. Father, use him to make a difference for your kingdom. Father, bless these who are at this altar, others praying from their seats, people praying, Father, at home or wherever they may be. Hear our cry, Lord. Maybe it's someone battling sickness today. We have so many who are in the hospital or people that are, Father, hanging on. We pray for Charlene Steinbrecher for a miracle of healing. Bless she and her family. Comfort them. Father, we pray for so many others that are in the hospital or struggling. Father, I pray for Mary Lippert that you would anoint her with your Holy Spirit. Father, we pray for folks who are going through marital problems, family strife. We know you can bring reconciliation and healing. Father, we pray for people maybe battling addiction today. We know you have the power to break the chains of addiction, set the captives free, remove that desire, and draw them to you. Father, we pray for people that are living in a fog of depression, anxiety, or fear. I pray, God, that the fog would subside and they would see the light and love of Jesus and the hope we have in Christ. Father, we are grateful for our students having a successful mission trip to Washington, D.C. We thank you for the adults and the youth who were kept safe. And we pray many seeds were planted and many lives changed. Father, we pray for our mission team leaving this afternoon to go to Eastern Kentucky, to the Gap at McDowell, Kentucky, that you would bless their efforts, anoint them. May many seeds of faith be planted and lives transformed. And God, we pray, continue prayers upon our country, upon our leaders. We need revival and spiritual awakening. And I pray, God, that it would begin in each of our hearts. I'm grateful for this church, Lord. We're grateful, Lord, for leading Sean and Kelly here, and ask your blessings upon them as they begin their ministry, their time here. Father, bless now the remainder of this service. If there's someone here or watching that's never given their life to Christ, I pray that today would be the day of salvation for some, for many. Father, we're grateful for our fathers here today, or dads watching, or dads who have gone on to be with you. And we remember them, God, and we say thank you. Lord, I ask now that your Holy Spirit would continue to anoint the time of Scripture, our time of worship, our time of preaching your word, and our time of invitation, that decisions would be made for Jesus. For it is in his strong and holy and precious and powerful name I pray. Amen. Amen. God is so good and he's so faithful. And I shared at the early service, they didn't know what I was preaching, and I didn't know what they were singing, but God knew. And this passage I'm reading today is exactly the worship song that they sang. The second one comes straight from this passage. So it's so neat to see God's hand orchestrating this service, and so I'm grateful that we all try to be obedient to how the Holy Spirit leads. And I'm so grateful after the reading of God's word, our choir and worship team will come to lead us. Thank you all. Beginning with verse 1, Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, or other translations, bless the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. This is the word of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Are you past the point of weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? Cause shame's done all it's stealing, and you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way, rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus about my Jesus and all the wrong turns that you would go and undo if you could. Who can work it all for your good? Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way, rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong. Price for all my guilty. Who would care that much about me? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Oh, he makes a way where there ain't no way, rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news
so much. What a powerful message and song. And I say amen. Jesus can change our lives today. So I'm so grateful for that. What an awesome job. Thank you, choir, worship team, instrumentalists. And thank you for being here today. I shared at the early service, usually the largest attended service of the year in church is Easter, followed secondly at Christmas. A close third is Mother's Day, and usually Father's Day is one of the lowest attended services.
But not this year. Look around. Praise the Lord that you're here today worshiping the Lord. You know, I like to always share a little humor in memory of my father. I always like to share one of my dad's jokes. And some of you all may recall hearing this one. And if you have, just act like you have it and laugh hysterically after I share it. But there was a story about Buford and Beulah, who were always at church. They were faithful every time the doors opened. Beulah would sing in the choir, and Buford would sleep in the pew. And almost every Sunday, Beulah, who was a very prideful woman, and she was very proper, it would so embarrass her to look out into the congregation and see her husband sound asleep every service. It so much bothered her that she came up with a plan. She decided that she was going to get a little boy in the church to do something for. She bought some Limburger cheese. That's smelly cheese. And she said to the little boy, "You want to make $10? He goes, "Sure." She goes, "I want you to sit by my husband Buford, and when you see him nodding off to sleep, I want you to wave that Limburger cheese under his nose. I'm going to teach him a lesson about sleeping in church." Well, sure enough, the next Sunday came, and Beulah was in the choir loft. And old Buford was in his normal spot doing what he normally did. He was sound asleep. And so Beulah gave the sign from the choir loft, the head nod. The little boy excitedly got in his pocket, and he pulled out that Limburger cheese, and he ever so gently began to wave it under the nose of old Buford. Well, old Buford roused up and woke up, and he said, "Beulah, get your feet off my pillow." Come on now, I don't care how many times you hear it, it's funny now, you know it is. You didn't laugh, you're holding it in because it is funny. You know, I'm grateful that I was blessed with a Christian father, and maybe you were as well. And my dad was not perfect, and guess what? I'm not either, and you're not either. But I know that he's tried his best to be a good father, and I do my best to be a good father, even though I'm sure I fail many times. It's possible that you're here today and you didn't have a good relationship with your dad. Or maybe you didn't even really know your father. Or if you did, you saw that your dad was abusive. You saw that he was an alcoholic. Or maybe you saw that he was absent from your life. And no matter what kind of father we had, aren't you grateful that we have a perfect heavenly Father? There's no fault in him. We couldn't ask for a better dad than our heavenly Father. You know, most of you all here, if you didn't know, my dad suffered from Parkinson's disease for over 25 years. And my dad was such an inspiration to me and so many people, as he had a don't quit spirit. He had a commitment to the Lord and to his church like no other. And he instilled that in my brothers and me and led us beautifully by his example. Back before COVID, pre-COVID, we used to have our prayer meetings downstairs. We have a meal every Wednesday at 5 if you've never been. It's good food, good fellowship. And then we come up here for a great time of prayer at 6 o'clock. But pre-COVID, we do prayer meeting downstairs. And at the end of our time of devotion, we would have a prayer time. And I would invite people, if you feel led to pray aloud, that you could. Certainly many prayed silently. And then I would ask people, if you felt led to pray out loud, you could. And I remember like it was yesterday, one Wednesday night, when my dad, who used to have a strong and distinct voice, because of Parkinson's, now his voice had weakened and it was soft. And I remember when I opened up the floor for people to pray, my dad began in his weakened, soft voice to pray this scripture that we shared today out of Psalm 103. He quoted the first several passages that I just read to you today. And I have to tell you, my heart was touched and I was moved to tears as I listened to my dad give praise to the Lord. And I'm so grateful today that we have an opportunity to give praise to the Lord. In our scripture reading, it's David who wrote this hymn to God. It was David who was writing a hymn giving praise to the love of God and the compassion that he shows for us as children. As a matter of fact, in verse 13 that we did not read, it says, as the Father has compassion or shows compassion for his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. In other words, who respect him, who revere him. As a father has compassion on his children. And so I'm so grateful today in this scripture passage that we see David really not only giving a prayer of praise to God, but he's also talking to himself. He's reciting, it's really a recital of blessings that he's sharing with us. Have you ever needed to give yourself a good, as we would say, a good talking to? Have you ever had where you knew what you needed to do and you needed to cheer yourself up, you needed a pep talk, you needed encouragement, and so you gave yourself a good talking to? Well, that's kind of what David was doing. He was giving God praise, but he was reminding himself, he was giving himself a good talking to about what should be most important. And I pray today that we would be inspired to give a recital of blessings to the only one who is worthy to be praised, our Lord and our God. And the very first verse, he says, praise the Lord, or again, bless the Lord, my soul, and all that is in within me, praise his holy name. The first step in us really giving ourselves that pep talk or that encouragement that we need is we need to praise him, to praise him. When he said, and all that is in within me, oh my soul, all that is within me, his whole nature was praising God. His intellect, his emotions, his feelings, his heart, his lungs, his tongue, everything he had was praising God. You know, my dad taught my brothers and me, whatever we do, give it all you've got. Give it your best. Whether it was in school, whether it was singing, whether it was in your relationship with others at work, give it all you've got. Leave it all on the line. Leave it all on the court. Leave it all on the field. I was just sharing with Peyton back before baptism that, you know, when I played ball, and I've told you all this, my dad would say, son, you go out there, you be the first one on the floor when that ball comes loose. Somebody won't pass it to you. Go take it from the other team. You go get the rebound. You give it all you've got. That's the way I tried to live my life. And I know that until recently, I was still trying to play basketball until I was breaking about every finger on my hand. And people would say to me, well, why don't you go over there and just play your age, you know, play old man basketball, and you don't have to play as hard as you used to. And I said, if I can't give it all I've got, I don't want to play. Same way when I sing. Sometimes if you're looking at me, I'm so into it, singing, rocking back and forth, patting my foot. Sometimes my wife will subtly and lovingly reach over and grab my arm as if to say, hold on there, Baba Louie. she'll just lovingly place her arm, because that's how my dad taught us. When we sing, we give it all we've got. When you play, you give it all you have. When we worship the Lord, we give Him our best, because don't you think He deserves it? He deserves our all, to give Him our best. You don't want to regret and go home and say, I could have given more, but I didn't. I didn't really give my best. And so, as followers of Christ, we are to give our best. And David was often given praise. And in Psalm 7:17, he said, I will give thanks to the Lord because of His righteousness. I will sing the praises of the name of the Lord Most High. He was all the time given praise. Jesus tried to teach His disciples and us in that model prayer, the Lord's Prayer. In Matthew 6:9, He said, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. That's holy is Your name. That's praise to Your name. That's what He was teaching out of the gate, to give hallowedness, holiness, to bring praise to the only one who's worthy to be praised. And I issued a challenge to you all a few weeks ago to go say thank you, whether it was to a teacher or a coach or a minister or a family member, or someone that's touched your life, impacted your life, changed your life. And I'm grateful. I've heard some of you all share those reports. I'm thankful that I had the opportunity before my dad went to glory to be with the Lord, that I could thank my dad for everything that he had done for me. And I was able to tell him how much I loved him and how much I appreciated his investing in my life. And maybe you've done the same thing. And then on Memorial Day, I was able to go with my wife and my children and gather around my dad's memorial. I know my dad's not there. I know he's with the Lord. But I was able to lead my family in a prayer and to once again say, thank you, Dad. Thank you for everything that you did for me. I'm a better man because of what you taught me and the example that you set for me. And maybe that's something that you need to do as well. Or maybe it's going to make peace to say, I forgive you, Dad. Or I'm sorry that I never told you how much you meant to me. Life's so short, life's so precious. Do it before it's too late, and you won't be sorry. The first thing we need to do is to praise Him, but then, secondly, we need to personally remember. He says, after saying, praise the Lord, or bless the Lord, my soul, and all that is within me, praise His holy name. Then he says in verse 2, praise the Lord and forget not all His benefits. And so he is personally remembering everything that God had done for him. And that's good for us to do the same thing, to remember all of His benefits. And then he begins to list some of these benefits. And I don't think it's by accident when he says, praise the Lord again. That's not vain repetition. It's emphasis that we should praise Him repeatedly. And so he begins by saying, who forgives, in verse 3, all your sins. Don't you think that's the greatest need that we have today, is forgiveness of our sin? There are so many people who don't understand that they need to ask for forgiveness. Clearly, David understood the forgiveness he needed from God. Remember when David, who was a man after God's own heart, committed adultery with Bathsheba, had her husband Uriah sent to the front lines where he was killed in battle? And then we see in Psalm 51 a penitent heart, as David cried out to God in verses 9 and 10 of Psalm 51, when he said, hide Your face from my sins, blot out my iniquity, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. David understood the importance that he needed forgiveness. Who forgives all your sins? You know what that means? It doesn't mean some of them. As long as you fall on this sin list and not on this sin list, if your sin is this, he'll forgive you. If your sin is that, he won't. He will, he won't. When it says forgives all your sins, he means he'll forgive all your sins. And maybe you're here today and you have been carrying around a guilty conscience. You've been carrying around a load of guilt. And today you need to understand God's forgiveness, because the devil is going to continue to remind you of your past. And when the devil reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future, because he has no future. The devil's been defeated. So you remind him that he has no future. But then I think about that even Jesus, again, in that model prayer out of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12 says, forgive others their trespasses as they trespass against you. And we know it's important that we forgive people. In Matthew 6, 14 and 15, Jesus said, "For if you forgive people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, he will not forgive your sins." So you've heard me share, unforgiveness is like you and me drinking poison and then expecting the other person to die as a result. When we don't forgive, that's like us paying the price and suffering from it, not them. What about you today? Do you need to forgive someone? Do you need forgiveness? A verse I share often is 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us or cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't God's grace great and amazing that we can be forgiven today? And I often think about that story of the four friends that took their paralytic friend to where Jesus was teaching in the house. Y'all remember that story? And do you remember that there was no room, so they climbed up on the roof and they started tearing off that clay roof and those tiles, and they were lowering their paralytic friend down into the middle of this church service. And do you remember what Jesus said first thing out of his mouth? Your sins are forgiven. Jesus saw that the most immediate need wasn't that this man needed to walk, is that he needed forgiveness of sins. Don't you know Jesus sees what we need the most? We need to ask for forgiveness of our sins today, and he will grant that to you. But then, not only does he forgive us of our sins, and it says, and heals all our diseases. And I know what some of y'all are saying. I prayed for healing for a loved one, and they passed. The ultimate healing is when we are with the Lord in glory. But we know he has the power to bring healing on this side, and we pray for healing, don't we? We read in James chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, that he hears the prayers of the faithful. He hears our prayers. And we know that he lifts up those who are sick. He says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And we read in 1 Peter 2, 23 and 24, it says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we may die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you are healed. I've claimed that passage, and I know ultimately he's talking about spiritually healed. But don't you think God can heal us physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, financially, relationally? He has the power to heal us no matter what our sickness is. And so I've prayed over people And I've claimed that passage, by his wounds, some translations say, by his stripes, you are healed. And the ultimate healing is spiritual when we know Christ and we get to be with him in glory. But then, not only does it say, who forgives all our sins and heals all our diseases, but he redeems us from the pit and crowns us with love and compassion. Who redeems us from the pit? The pit is a metaphor for death. He redeems us from the pit, or a pit of hopelessness. When I think about somebody that had a reason to be hopeless, it would have been Job. You remember Job? Job was a righteous man, not perfect, but he was righteous, who feared God and he shunned evil. And do you remember this righteous, and there wasn't anyone like him at the time, a holy man. Just like that, the devil came, and there he would take all 10 of his children. He would take all of his livestock. He would take all of his servants. He would take his own health, so much so that Job's wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? But do y'all remember what Job did? And in Job 19:25, Job stood there in the midst of this hopelessness when his own friends were saying, man, you must have really messed up. You did something to bring all this on. And in Job 19:25, he said, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end, he will stand upon the earth. He was saying, I know that my God has defeated death and destruction and all this loss, and I know that he loves me and he's redeemed me. Maybe recently you watched the coronation of what was Prince Charles, King Charles, and placing that royal crown. Well, did you know that the Lord has crowned us with his blessings, with his love, with his mercy, with his kindness? It's that crown that Paul was talking about at the end of his life when he was dying as a martyr in that old Roman dungeon. He, in 2 Timothy 4:7-8, said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there's in store for me that crown of righteousness, which the Lord will award to me on that day, not only to me, but to all those who long for his appearing. When I think about what he's done for us, I can't help but to think he gives us victory, doesn't he? In 1 Corinthians 15:57, Paul said, but thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He defeated sin on the cross. He defeated death in the tomb. And you better believe he'll defeat whatever obstacle we face in our lives if we trust in him. In 1 John 3:1, it says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. Now, I want to share quickly a story that some of you have heard me share. When I was in my early 20s, my blood pressure was out the roof. When I'd go get a physical, even my senior year of high school, when the doctor came to the locker room to give physicals, my blood pressure was up, but several of the guys were, because we had been running and conditioning, and so he said I needed more tests, and I remember like it was yesterday that I was over at Garrett County Hospital where my dad and mom taught, and Dr. Martin had sent me over to the hospital to get some tests. And when I went over, as some of y'all remember, I mean, my blood pressure used to be so high, because when I'd play ball, again, I only knew one way to play, give it. I used to wear a blood pressure patch. It wasn't a nicotine patch. It was a blood pressure patch. And I'd be all sweaty, and my mom would be saying, oh, don't play so hard. And I didn't know how else to play but to give it all I had. And I remember the doctor wanted me to get a CAT scan of my adrenal glands. But in order to do that, I had to drink this nastiness, this contrast. And I remember the nurse saying, well, we can camouflage the taste. We can put orange juice in it. So I tried the orange juice. sorry, I don't want to ruin your lunch. But then we can put Coke in it. They put Coke. We can put milk. They tried all this stuff. And you all, this is one of the, I know for those of you who've heard it, it may not seem that special, but it was to me because my dad was there. And my dad took that cup of nastiness and he began to drink it for me. He goes, look, son, you can do it. It's not bad. And my dad began to drink that. I've always looked at that as what Jesus did for us. He drank that cup of suffering, the cross, so we wouldn't have to. And I saw my dad, and then finally I was able to get enough down me to where they could check. But I've never forgotten that. That was a picture of me of what God does for us. That he saved us and he loves us and he's crowned us with his love and compassion. And I've never forgotten what Jesus has done and what my dad did for me. But then lastly in verse 5, who satisfies all your desires with good things so that your youth may be renewed like the eagles. Who satisfies your desires with good things. You know what someone gave the definition of what being satisfied is? Being satisfied is that you are so full that you don't have room for anything else. You think about eating a big meal. Ah, I'm satisfied. Woo, that was good. I got to unbutton my button. That was good. I'm so satisfied. We're to be so full of the Lord and his Spirit that we don't have room for anything else in our lives. We need to be so full of Jesus and his power and his Spirit and know that he satisfies our needs, our desires. Philippians 4:19, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And then the image to have your vigor renewed like the eagles or your youth renewed. I think about Isaiah 40:31. We're almost finished, and you can head to lunch. I need Beulah's pillow right now. But anyway, but I think about Isaiah 40:31. But those who hope in the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall soar on wings like eagles, run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not be faint. Some of you are here today and you're giving yourself a good talking to. You don't feel any joy. You don't find any contentment. You don't have any satisfaction. You've tried dieting. You've tried exercise. You've tried self-help books. You've tried to work yourself to death. You've tried to get more money, nicer cars, bigger homes. And you still aren't satisfied. You'll never be satisfied until you allow Jesus Christ to fill that void in your life. You're never going to do it. You're going to keep striving and trying and trying, and you're never going to find true fulfillment until you allow Christ to come in and satisfy you. I just had this conversation with one of my children this week, and I was sharing this with Peyton before we came out. I said, look, we love you and we support you in your sports endeavors and what you want to do, but know this, we love you, not the sport. We have invested in you. Well, I don't want to let you all down. I don't want to disappoint. And I said, look, we invested in you. We love you. God loves you. So know this, your identity is in Jesus Christ, not the sport you play or the job you work or this or that. Your meaning comes through him. And when we can figure that out, we're going to have a lot of joy. You're going to have energy, enthusiasm, vigor. You're going to have a new attitude when we are grateful for what he has done for us and what he's given us. We're going to feel so much better about life and know that we've already succeeded. when we've given our best and our all, filled our lives with the goodness of God. Do you have that today? If you don't, I want to encourage you in just a moment. We're going to have a hymn of commitment where you can come up and you can give your life to Jesus. It would be my great privilege to pray with you a prayer, and you can invite Jesus to fill your life. Maybe you're a Christian and you've grown complacent. You've grown lethargic. You're just going through the motions. You're not giving him your all. Maybe today you're going to renew that vow and say, I haven't been, but let me tell you, here on out, I'm going to give you all I've got. Or maybe you're looking for a church home. I want to just say, this is a wonderful church. It's a Spirit-filled, loving church. We are not perfect. I'm not perfect. But we serve a perfect God. And as long as we keep that in proper perspective, you'll never be disappointed if you're looking at him. But if you're looking at me or someone else, you're going to be disappointed. There's no fault in Christ. So I'm going to invite you in just a moment to come and pray with me as we give our best to the one who gave his best to us. May we pray. Father, I pray right now in the stillness of this moment that if there are any people here or people watching and they've been missing joy in their life or fulfillment or satisfaction and they've hopped from relationship to relationship, job to job, house to house, car to car, church to church, and they're missing, God, what's already there inside of them, their faith. I pray that they would find satisfaction in Christ and seek you first, and all these other things will be added or given unto us. So, Father, give us the boldness to come today. Whatever our decision, we'll give you all the praise and the glory and the honor for the victory you've already won. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to invite you to stand if you're in this place and come as we sing, Jesus, who redeemed us, paid it all. Won't you come? So much for being here today and allowing the Holy Spirit to be in this place. I pray that you will leave here today challenged to live out your faith, praising and remembering what God has done for you and me, for all of us, and it will change your life, as they sang, and Jesus can change your life. couple of quick announcements. Don't forget that if you brought your baby bottles today back for Avenues for Women, there are some crates out there. But if you say, oh, I forgot, you can still bring them next Sunday. But make sure, again, that you bring those back. And again, please be in prayer for our mission team. Get ready to head out, I believe, at 1 o'clock. And so pray for their safety and for God to use them in a mighty way. Again, what a great day. Happy Father's Day to any dads that are here. Know you are loved. Thank you for leading by being here today, showing your family that God and His church are important. So bless you and thank you. And again, if your dad has already gone on to be with the Lord, we'll look forward to seeing them again one day, and what a day that will be. So thank you, Sean. Thank you for being here today. We welcome you, and Kelly, thank you for an awesome job as well. Lead us in this closing song.
All right, let's sing this together. Oh, victory. Here we go.
Oh, victory.
Christ, and may we as followers leave this place walking in victory, sharing with others the hope we have in Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen.